This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, 206-421-3776, the phone number this hour, brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. The show is Brock and Salk. He's Brock, I'm Mike. Good to have you with us and talking baseball as we've been doing. I got to tell you, I started to compose a tweet about this last night, and I wasn't sure if the tone would get lost, and I didn't want it to be because I meant it seriously. And I don't mean the opposite of it, if you understand.
Okay.
I am so happy to be thinking about baseball all the time. Like, I can't, it fills my cup with such joy.
I think it was Chuck Nelson I was talking to yesterday at the Special Olympics event.
Love it.
I said, Chuck, it's amazing to have a baseball team in June and July that is, like, every day you just want to talk about them.
And I mean that not just from a work perspective. Obviously, for us and what we do, it's great to have a baseball team winning. I just, like, yesterday I found myself kind of sitting and writing. I've got two things that are coming out at 710sports.com. Little thing on Marco Gonzalez, little thing that we were talking about this morning.
I feel like
I'm excited to sit and think about baseball.
Yes, your cup overflowing.
And I didn't want that to come off as some sort of shot at football. I love all of our football conversation. I don't mean for it to be like, finally we get to be done with football. But
no, Mike, finally we have a relevant baseball team in June and July.
I love it.
And I know in 2016 they were a game away, but you know what they were at home? They were, what, 5 games over .500 for the season. For the entire season, that's where they sat, or 6 games over. This is a team that's starting to own Safeco Field that you hear the skipper talk about. Man, these fans, it helps. You know, the role they played over the weekend. There's going to be a great crowd tonight with fireworks night and the 4th of July. Like, creating a home field. Yeah. Can you imagine? Because I can. I remember what it was like in the good old days in the late 90s, early 2000s, even the Kingdom in 95 when that place was alive and electric. And you're just starting to feel that come to life. It's awesome.
It has been, and it's been great just doing it with you guys. And the phones have been alive every single day to talk Mariners, which is cool. 206-421-3776. Question today is, do you miss Robinson Cano? Kyle asked us this on our show email the other day, and I love the question. And when we sort of kind of skirted around it yesterday, it led to, a lot of emotion and a couple of calls and then some text messages, seeing it on Twitter. I see it here now, 710-710 as well on the text machine. Simple question, Brock. Do you miss Robinson Cano?
I don't find myself right here at 8:02 on July 3rd missing Robbie Cano. I don't find myself over the last 30 games watching this team. Not one time, either in person or as I've watched this team on TV, not once have I said, oh gosh, if they had Robbie right now. Not once. And this is no, and I sent this in a note to you guys last night. Kind of like you framed your conversation there about baseball and writing and everything else. Maybe we think too much because I'm sitting here thinking.
Probably
like,
true.
Oh, I don't want people to take that. No. Don't take it the wrong way. It has nothing to do with Robbie Cano. It has nothing to do with him. It has everything to do about the 25 guys plus that are running the show right now. It does. Yeah, and it's a compliment to them and to Scott Service and to the way they're playing and how much they're invested in one another. That it really has nothing to do with Robbie Cano, his style, his cool, his chill, nothing. And everything to do with these guys. That I've not thought about him once over the last 30 games.
You and I see this very differently then, because I have. And that's not to say, I think they've done an admirable job of not just surviving, but thriving without Cano in the lineup every single day. But you can't tell me you don't miss a guy with an 825 OPS. You can't tell me you don't miss a guy who hits so far this year, 287, gets on base 385 more than 38% of the time, and has a slugging percentage of 440 because he hits home runs and doubles as well. Robinson Cano is a great hitter. The Mariners' offense has been mediocre. They're a good team, but it's mostly been because of their pitching, oddly, because of their clutch hitting, and because of what they've done at the bullpen at the end of the game and finding ways to win these close ones. But make no mistake, I mean, Clayton's right. They've dropped nearly half a run a game since Robinson Cano exited, and to get him back as a shot in the arm when you need him in August, I think that's great, and I can't wait to have Robinson Cano back on this team. Now, I don't know how you work it out. I'm not saying he immediately goes back to second base and plays every day. I think there's probably a bit of a platoon, and he plays some first, and he, you know, DHs a little bit, and you wait and see, give people some breaks, and I don't know. Maybe you can find a way even to play him at third base sometimes. But I am very excited to see Robinson Cano back, and I think they miss him, and I miss watching him quite a bit.
So over 30 games, this month of June? Did you think about him almost every game?
Every game. I sure thought about him in Boston and New York. I think about him. I thought about him just the other day. I thought about him on Sunday when I watched them roll over to third base 1,000 times. I sound like Astros rant guy. How many times are you going to ground out to third base in one game? Yeah, I do find myself thinking about Robinson Cano in a lot of those games where you're up 4-2, 4-3, and you're like, could you just tack on a run or two and not need Edwin Diaz at the end of this one to close out a one-run game? Yep. Could somebody just come up with a two-run shot? Could someone be on base when Nelson Cruz hits his home run?
They have.
They haven't.
Ryan
Healy
has. Kyle Seager has. Even Mike Zunino has.
Not at a rate like he does. Come on.
Mitch Haniger has.
You can sit here and say D. Gordon. D. Gordon is a 646 OPS guy. Robinson Cano's at 850. You're talking about completely different players.
Yet who do you want playing second base every day
for you? Second base? I probably want to see D. Gordon, but that doesn't mean I don't want Robbie Cano in my lineup.
Fascinating.
Of course
this
I
is
do.
Fascinating.
You don't?
Go. This is a fact. Let me hear from the peeps.
206-421-3776. Let's start with Ryan, who is in Yakima. We'll run right down the list. Ryan, what's going on? Do you miss Robbie Cano?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just want to say I do miss Robbie Cano. I liked what the Mariners were doing at the beginning of the year, putting D out at center. I really think that he could be one of our next great center fielders, you know, like the Griffey, the Mike Cameron. And, you know, just having Robbie not out there, you know, his veteran leadership, that swagger he brings to second base, I just really think that our team could benefit when he comes back, even if we have to platoon him. And if next season this team's the real deal, we put him back to second base and really solidify that whole infield and outfield.
Appreciate the opinion there, Ryan. That's one on your column, Salk, that says, yeah, I do miss the talent. And he is. He's a generational player. He's a Hall of Fame player. I don't know what this 80-game suspension will do to it. Unfortunately, now he fits into that column of guys. It's going to make it that much harder. But his resume speaks for itself. He is one of the most accomplished players in this game. But I just can't also get away from this cut. When Scott Service sat with us a couple weeks ago, and we again talked about the Cano situation, and this was the skipper's words, not mine.
The turning point, or you know, obviously the big adversity we've dealt with so far is losing Robinson Cano. And we talked about it right after it happened, and there was a number of different emotions throughout our clubhouse. Some guys were pissed. Some guys were disappointed. Some guys were shocked. You know, but at the end of the day, I think everybody, it did bring our group together. And when you bring a group together like that, knowing that, you know, Robbie's a big part of our team, he's going to be back with our team, but we've got to find a way to overcome it and move forward. And that singular incident is what really pulled our team together.
Pulled them together, but it's still something they have to try to overcome. Why? Because he's a great player.
it solidified and brought them together, but
if you don't miss them, so I guess I'll try to look at this a different way. Do you not want them to add talent at the deadline? Because that might make it too easy for them to win games?
No.
All right, well, Robinson Cano is going to come back and is going to make it easier for them to win games. He's talent you're adding at the deadline.
And where are you playing him?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Playing him at second. I don't need to play him every day. I could play him at first.
And you can give me 0.4 runs you've lost a game. What is it meant to have Heredia play in center field and D. Gordon playing second base every day and being that good up the middle? What does that save them run prevention-wise? Is it 0.1 run a game, 0.2 run, whatever it is, that starts to eat into it a little bit? And just the fact that everybody's got to pick up a little bit more because they know he's not there. They know that they don't and can't just like give a bat away. Not that they do anyway, purposefully.
Yeah, but Brock, but it's not just where he does every
Robbie's
day.
Robbie's going to have that.
I understand that, but what if Robbie's not playing every day and you get him to give Healy a break, a little bit of first base? He's a better hitter than Ryan.
And is Robbie going to do all of that?
I don't know.
I mean, is Robbie?
I don't think he's
going
to have much of a choice.
Okay.
I mean, Robbie's not in much of a position to start arguing.
Robbie's
for
also
what he wants
unbelievably
and want to do.
Proud, as he should be. Baseball guy.
I'm going to be willing to bet that this has humbled Robbie a little bit. I haven't seen anybody come back from a suspension like that with great arrogance. I don't buy that.
And certainly Scott has talked about that, about the way Robbie has handled this.
He's hanging in there. He's bored. You know, it's tough when your whole life is baseball and come to the park and the routine of it. You know, he is in here early in the day. He's getting his treatments done, you know, making sure the hand comes back to be 100%. But, you know, he misses it. You know, we miss him, but, you know, he'll be back.
Let's grab Tom, who's in Pasco. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's up?
Doing great, man. This is a fun conversation, and I don't think there's a right or wrong with it. You know, I think it brings in so many different levels of team dynamics and baseball talent. So in Pasco, where do you sit? You find yourself missing Robbie Cano?
No, absolutely not. Brock, I'm on your side with this one. I've been a Mariner fan since back when they were when they were good and then when they weren't. And being able to watch them this year, listen to the games, it's brought an excitement. And I haven't thought about Robbie Cano because I'm a Mariner fan. I'm not a Cano fan. I'm not a Segura fan. I'm not a Felix fan.
But that doesn't mean
I
you can't miss
them. I want
them
to do what's best for the team.
Yeah.
And when I hear they are a team, and your last caller just mentioned the word leadership, Robbie just burned that card. When I hear that the locker room was pissed, disappointed, I think you guys reported on Segura was crushed. And if you want to use Robbie, bring him back, use him as trade bait. Go out and build.
He's not a tradable asset. Unfortunately, he's not a tradable asset.
He's not.
No.
Okay, well, then, you know what?
And he's here for five more years. He's not going anywhere, man. Robinson Cano is here for the next 5 years. He had $25 million a year. He's not going anywhere, and I'll disagree with a lot of that. Is D. Gordon a leader?
Well, somebody's leading that team right now.
Well, D. Gordon had a steroid suspension. Can he still be a leader?
Is
Nelson Cruz a leader on this team? He had a steroid suspension.
Not in that locker room.
Not in this club. But when you ask those guys about Cano afterwards, D. Gordon's super defensive of Robbie Cano because of that very reason. So the fact that our impression of what his leadership in the clubhouse is probably different than it actually is. Because D. Gordon was the first person to come to his defense. Nelson Cruz is obviously very close with him. Yep. He means a lot to those guys.
He does, and yet there are going to be guys in that clubhouse, I will side with that call, that are like, dude, really? You know, I mean...
But if they're saying, dude, really, they got to go say it to Nelson Cruz, and they got to go say it to D. Gordon as well, and I don't see that happening. 206-421-3776. Grab Patrick, who's in Boston. Good morning, Patrick. Patrick going once, going twice.
Hello, Patrick.
Adam's in Seattle. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Yeah, this is a tough one, but I'm going to lead towards, yes, I'm missing Cano. Now, to be clear, I'm not taking anything away from what this team has done since he's been suspended, but I'm looking at the road trip against the Red Sox and Yankees where we struggled, and it would have been great to have him in our lineup at Fenway and at Yankee Stadium. I mean, he is batting averages 287, so I think against the tough teams like the Yankees and Red Sox where we could face one of those teams in the first wild card playoff, so... You could sure have a Cano in your lineup hitting behind Segura and Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, and it's such a shame that, I mean, I think that this would be different if he was going to be available for the playoffs. And the fact that he's not is such a killer, because those are the games where you miss him. I'm serious. You're right, Brock. You don't miss him as much when you're playing Baltimore and you're just going to find a way to beat them anyway. You can't tell me that you didn't miss Robbie Cano when you were watching them against Chris Sale, or you're watching them against Severino, or you're watching them in a few of those games in Boston, New York, or against Houston, where you just need superstar-type
players.
There's
no question.
That's when I miss Robinson Cano.
Absolutely no question. And you know what? I may sound really dumb a month from now and be like, oh, gosh, this offense has continued to just stagnate a little bit and struggle a little bit. And, man, I can't wait. If I'm saying on like August 5th, I can't wait to get Robbie back into this line. I may be a month from now. But all I can be is totally honest that over the last 35 games, there has not been one game that I have sat and watched in person or on TV where I'm like, man, I really wish they had Robbie.
It is really crazy that they were more than halfway through this thing. I mean, 45. I think it's 45 games in, and they got 35 left to go. I mean,
he's probably down in the Dominican at facility they
the
have down there.
Should be just about healed, right? I mean, he should be just now kind of coming back and take the rest of the next month or so here to make sure he's right and in game shape and ready to come out and play.
And he's got a facility of his own down there that's second to none. That's going to give him every opportunity to ramp up and get himself right. And then the question will be, where? You know, he's not going to be you're not going to take Nelson Cruz out of this lineup, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
You know, we'll see a month from now.
But that doesn't mean you're not going to give some guys a break, and especially if you are almost a sure thing to make the playoffs, do you find a way to rotate some of this through and keep everybody fresh? It would be nice not to have to use Diaz every night, not to be on the edge of your seat every single night, clinging to hope and making sure your relievers don't blow a game, because let's face it, the more they pitch, the worse they'll get.
But this will also, absolutely.
And the worse they'll be in the playoffs.
This will also be all news for new first for Robbie.
True.
Come into a season. You know, listen to Shannon yesterday with the professor talking about Ben Gamel. Like, why is he caught fire? Well, you know what? A young player had to learn. It's the first time he's ever been through it. He tried to ramp up immediately instead of going through all the process. Robbie Cano has never missed 80 games during the season.
And then he was fine. Let's be clear. Colleen's in Kennewick, one of our favorites. Good morning, Colleen. What do you think?
Hey, Brock. Disappointing me. and the guy from Pasco. How dare him talk about those Mariners that way? He is a very likable guy on that team. Mm-hmm. I miss him. He's my favorite player. Mm. And I will welcome him back with, you know, no booing there. And I'm sure that's probably what's going to happen when he does come back. But
I don't think so, Colleen. You think Mariner fans are going to boo him? I won't boo Robbie Cano. And as I said, this isn't as much about Robbie Cano as it is about all the other guys on this team that have picked up so much of the slack. You think he's going to get booed when he comes back?
First night.
Well, I'm hoping not, because that's not right. I mean, he's still a Mariner. He made a mistake. And you got to, you know, you pay for your mistakes and you move on.
And you pay for that mistake with one night of being booed. That's my opinion, and that doesn't mean that I won't cheer for him as soon as he gets a hit and the next night and from then on, but I think that's part of you said you pay for your mistakes. That's part of it. That's part of paying for that mistake.
Well, Lydia and I both know you don't boo. Yeah. Right?
You have kids, Colleen?
No.
You don't have kids? If you did, would you punish them?
For what?
Transgressions, things that were deserving of punishment.
Yeah, I would, but I wouldn't do it in public where everybody knows about it. Right. You know, that's your business.
Okay. So if you saw Robbie Cano in person, would you boo him, just the two of you?
Oh, heck no.
Thanks for the phone call. 206-421-3776. I'm looking for somebody who doesn't miss him. Let's see. Here we go. Rusty is in Stanwood. Good morning, Rusty.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Going good, man. So you're in my camp a little bit. Over the last month or so, you've not sat there watching a game saying, man, I wish there was Robbie Cano in the lineup.
You know, I don't miss him. I'm going to be honest with you. I think Robinson Cano has some natural ability and talent that he brings to the team. But my problem with him has always been that he doesn't have that grit. And you can't put that on black and white. He doesn't have – I mean – watching D. Gordon round third base when he's got an easy play, I mean, an easy run in, but he's running at full bore. Robinson just never had that. He has
no. Instead, he just really gets to walk in from third base after hitting another home run.
Hold on, let him finish. Let him finish, and I'll tell you,
real amazing, a natural ability, and why anybody would want to enhance that through some kind of help. Other than grit and determination, I just don't miss him. Well, I put him in the same category basically as A-Rod. I mean, the guy has got some natural ability. Most of the guys on that team have to fight to even be in the same arena with Robinson Cano, and they have every right to be upset. And I think that it has put a juice behind the guys that goes beyond black and white numbers. It's a grit. It's a determination that you can't put on paper.
I appreciate the phone call.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call. And it's a little different, I think, than most. And Lydia's kind of shaking her head. Salk is, too.
Yeah, I just so thoroughly disagree with that.
But let me just ask you a question. Wasn't it his teammate for a lot of years with the Yankees that said the same thing? Was it Mariano Rivera? Who was it that said, give me the second baseman for Boston instead of Arkansas?
Yeah, he liked Pedroia over Cano.
Yes. For what reason?
I don't think we should use the Yankees as a good example of
a Hall of Fame, his own teammate, said, give me Pedroia, because Pedroia had that grit. He just played with that every day. And this is not a rip job on Robbie. I can honestly,
yes,
I don't know
is.
If you believe
no,
me.
No, it is.
No, I don't know if you believe me.
I don't.
When I say this to you, this has nothing to do with Robbie
I
over
don't
the last
believe
30
you.
Days. Okay.
Well, I don't believe that guy. I might believe you. I don't believe that guy.
I'm just telling you, for me, it really has nothing to do with Robbie over the last 30 days.
That argument makes more sense. The argument of, hey, what I've seen from this team is so exciting, I don't find myself missing him. Fine. That's different from, I don't like the way Robinson Cano plays baseball.
Yep.
That, to me, makes no sense. That's what I thought before I watched Robbie play every day. And when I watched him play every day, I fell in love with watching him. I really did. I don't care if he runs out every ball to first base. I mean, he's old, and you're trying to keep him over 162 games. Are you trying to argue that D. Gordon's faster than Robinson Cano? I'll buy that. You're right. D. Gordon is definitely faster than Robinson Cano, and a big part of his game is steaming around third and scoring from wherever. But that doesn't diminish what Cano does because they're completely different types of ball players.
Push comes to shove.
How come D. Gordon doesn't hit any home runs? What's the matter with him?
Push comes
D,
to shove.
D, hit some home runs, and maybe then I'll start enjoying your game too.
Push comes to shove.
Yeah.
Second base, like in a vacuum. No splitting of bats, no anything else. And Robbie could play in the playoffs. Push comes to shove. He's totally healthy and back on this roster in early August. You want D. Gordon every day playing second base
in a playoff game?
For this team, for this club in August, September, in playoffs.
If Robinson Cano was available for the playoffs, I'd want him back in the lineup every day and put D. Gordon in center field if you have to. Yeah, I'll take that.
How about only second base? How about only second base on this team as your leadoff guy, and everything that he brings is his electricity.
It's hard
every
because these numbers are so bad.
Yeah.
It's really hard. These numbers are awful.
But his stats and I
don't love him.
Tell
I'm not knocking him. I love him. And you're right. He does all these things and scoring from first and on a little pop up to right field. I mean,
getting
all the things
balls,
he does.
Defensively, incredible. That Robbie would never even
pressure
approach.
He puts on the opponent. But yes. Robinson Cano is a superstar hitter. Superstar who's still pretty darn good with the glove as well. It's not like he's a negative center second baseman.
Yep.
Yeah, I still think the best scenario
not that one. Not D to center field.
But that's not a real thing. You're asking me about a hypothetical that doesn't exist. A real hypothetical is, does Robinson Cano come back and play second base and move D. Gordon back to center?
No.
And I don't know that you can do that every day.
I sure hope
but
not.
I sure got to start experimenting with it.
I don't think so.
I think I got to find a way to get them both into the lineup.
I think I want D
at center. Because they're both better players than Guillermo Heredia. 206-421-3776.
And yet this team is 31-14 in his absence.
They sure are. Let's see. How about Scott Incarnation? Hi, Scott. Good morning.
What's up, Scotty?
Morning. Hey, you know, I do miss him. There's a part of me, a Seattle fan, that I just hope for are expecting the worst. So that's a part of me where, as we get going on here towards the postseason, we need to start resting some guys. So for me, when you start bringing in guys like Romine, when you start bringing in guys like a Guillermo Heredia, where you've got to go through and really think about him as a utility player in the outfield, yeah, I'd love to have Cano back. The reason being, one, his bat. I agree with Salk. His bat, he's an amazing player at the plate. We need that back because we need the run support. But yep. As you go through and long-term piece this thing out, Guillermo Heredia is not our center fielder for the long-term. I do love him. I'm with Lydia. I like Guillermo. But we need D. Gordon back in the outfield. We need Robinson Cano back in second base. Even though I like D. Gordon, I need that guy back. I need Robinson Cano back.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's move to John, who's in California. Good morning, John.
Morning, guys.
Hey.
Hey, man.
I think we'll miss him. I think we have missed him a little bit. But, I mean, Brock, don't confuse our success with a team not missing him. I mean, how many one-run games have we won that – don't need to be that close.
No, I'm just asking you, over the last month, have you sat and watched this team and said, man, I really miss Robbie Cano? As you've watched us say, this isn't about baseball, sabermetrics, numbers. Obviously, his talent is his talent. I have just found myself in his absence, not for one day over the last 40 games, saying, gosh, I really miss Robbie. Have you?
So none of the games in Yankee Stadium, you missed them all?
I didn't. I didn't sit there and go, really? Gosh, I honestly didn't.
I definitely missed him in Yankee.
No, when they were
little short porch that the Mariners couldn't hit one over. Yeah, I missed Robbie and his little sweet lefty swing that just launches balls over that right field fence.
Yep.
I did. Oh. I definitely did in that one.
Yeah, same with Boston. I mean, those two series hurt. But, I mean, two sweeps to follow was great. I mean, but you can't say that you don't miss a good bat in a good outfield.
Nobody can say that. No, I don't think anybody should or can say that.
You are.
I am saying
you
that over the last 40 games, it's weird. I haven't. And maybe this is some of my old NFL DNA, Salk, that was very clear. Like, if you're not here, you're not here. Like, we go on and we play. Maybe it's 99 when I was with the Seahawks. Maybe it's remembering those Seattle Mariners and with Griffey gone and with A-Ron gone. Oh, my gosh, look at what the rest of the crew did.
I got a couple thoughts on this. First, I'm going to hold you to that the next time you say, wow, they look like they kind of miss Cam Chancellor or Cliff Averill or Michael Bennett or Richard Sherman or Earl Thomas.
Oh, they certainly will miss all those guys.
Oh, I don't know.
Season.
Once they're out of sight, but they're out of mind. So they're going to be better without all that
this
talent.
This 25 group here with a player that got suspended for something that he did and the manager tells you was the most galvanizing moment for this club this season that's gone 31-14 in his absence?
There is one name that needs to be brought into this conversation, and we'll bring his name in next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
All right, Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN, Seattle, 206-421-3776. And this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. The question has been, do you miss Robinson Cano? And there's a bunch of different ways people will kind of run with this question. Obviously, a lot of emotion tied to it. Whether it's do you miss him watching the games, you know, sort of emotionally or just viscerally? Do you think the team misses him? Are you excited for him to come back? Everyone's sort of taking it in their own different way. Brock, you're pretty clear. You have not missed him at all.
Yeah, and I'm really trying. And this isn't
so
like,
when he comes back, will you be excited?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. But there, I'll be a little nervous, as I think Scott will be.
I will be too.
How do I reintroduce this?
I would agree. I think I'm in the same camp with that. I'll be a little bit nervous. Things have worked so well. How challenging to try to reintroduce him to this
The beauty of a baseball season is it exposes everything. It's 162 games always does. Mm. In 30 games from now, this offense, it's averaging 4.2 and half a run less without Robbie, maybe at 3.6 and a full run less. And they have, you know, maybe even more nicked up with Nelly Cruz and someone that's tired or Kyle's toe or who knows. And it could be an absolute added influence. All I can say is to be as totally honest and transparent as I can, is over these 40 games, I have not sat for one game and said, man, even in Boston where they scored 10 runs and 5 runs the next day and Chris Sale shut him down, Chris Sale shuts everybody down.
Yeah.
I didn't sit there and say, oh, man, only Robbie. Not in New York when they had a lead that they just melted away and gave away late.
What about the other two games in New York?
Possibly. I mean, yeah, maybe he gets a hit. I don't know.
Yeah, and if you win two of those games how different is everything? I don't know. I do miss him, and I found myself thinking in those games, when the bats grow cold, I definitely miss Cano and a guy who's just a superstar hitter. Every single year of his career, the 850 OPS nearly every year, that's a guy you miss.
Yeah, but I'm also not going to say when he plugs back in after 80 games off, after a broken wrist and everything else, that he's going to somehow hit his stride and hit 330 and hit 20 bombs.
Totally fair. Brian is in Tacoma, one of our top five callers. Good morning, Brian. How are you? Oh, hold on. I got to press a button. Brian, I was not a top five radio host. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
I'm excellent this morning. How are you, gentlemen?
Oh, I'm excited to hear you now that you're on our board. You got on that board last week in my absence, so you better bring it.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's heck no cano. I mean, when my kids say their prayers at night, we end them with, and please pull a hamstring.
Oh, come on.
Now, listen, Brock, every team you've ever been on has had a lot of talent, but the special teams you've been on, every one of them had one thing in common, chemistry, right?
You care more for the success of the guy next to you than you do your own.
We got a 575 win total winning percentage before Cano went out. We're 689 since, and that's just a real stupid statistic you can point to and say, look, we're better without him. But my question is, how will it affect the chemistry? He's coming back August 14th. We have a huge series on August 20th versus Houston. And again,
you don't think you'd want his bat? You don't want his bat in that game against Houston? Say that again?
His timing at the plate is going to take 2 to 3 weeks minimum.
That's possible.
We're not getting him back for 42 games. We're getting him back for 26.
Brian, that's
maybe.
An awesome argument. You're absolutely right.
We have 13 games left this season with Houston. You ever seen the movie American Flyers?
No. I've never heard of that movie.
Ted Danson, young Ted Danson, young Kevin Costner.
Oh.
Ted Danson's character is they're bicycle racers. And he's behind a Russian, and he says to him, hey, I'm behind you, but I'm actually 2 seconds ahead. And Houston realizes, we're a half game behind them, but we're really a half a game to a game and a half up on them. We got 13 games left with those clowns. If we go 4-2 at Safeco, 3-4 at Houston, or 4-3 in Houston, it's a game and a half to a half game lead on Houston. The pressure's on, boys. Why mess with our chemistry? Let Cano pull a hamstring while he's rehabbing.
Why does he have to get hurt? Stop with the injuries. That's just mean spirit.
He can come back next year, Mike. He's a vet. He can watch from the bench. He doesn't get playoff money. He's not getting a ring. Okay.
Congratulations. You've made the top five.
Brian, you're staying in the top five. Don't. You're going to quote, not just reference, but quote American Flyers. You are staying in the top five, brother. I'll say that. Better Ted Danson, early Ted Danson flick, that or Three Men and a Baby?
Oh, this is much earlier than Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, wow. That
is
a much
better movie, too.
Wow. All right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the phone call. Jeez. Pull a hamstring.
I could see how he made the top
five. He's really fixated on that hamstring.
Yeah. Just pull a hammy. Get out of here. I don't want you around. Let's see. Peter's in Eatonville. Good morning, Peter.
Hey.
Bring the numbers. Bring the numbers, Peter. Bring them.
I do. I got some for you. So
going back to spring training, right? Nobody was fighting for a job starting lineup hitting. We knew exactly which nine people we wanted to put on the field. And the excitement was when we have these nine guys on the field, we're going to be able to put up some numbers runs-wise. And even when you got all nine sometimes, right, catcher gets a day off or whatever. So my split is eight or nine of those people are on the field versus you have maybe five to seven and you're throwing in the Romine. So far this season, we have only put eight or nine of those people we were so excited about on the field 25 times.
Mm.
But when we did, the probability of us scoring four or more runs was 68%, which is huge. And I, you know, people said, well, without him, we win, we lose. You can't put wins and losses on hitters. There's three components to a game, right? So you got to say, how did we hit without him? Not did we win? Because just because your pitchers picked it up didn't mean you.
Well, but I think Brock will point to the defense and some of the other things that you've seen from D. Gordon and others in that spot.
Is that Peter in Eatonville or is that Timmy Kirkchin?
It's hard to tell sometimes.
I mean, there's a little Timmy Kirkchin to our buddy Peter out in Eatonville. Did you hear that, Kyle? You were fielding calls, but did you hear a little Tim Kirkchin in our
when
buddy?
When Peter in Eatonville calls Brock and Salk, he's trying to become the first caller in Eatonville to ever crack their top five. You never know what you'll hear on the Brock and Salk show.
Isn't it amazing? 206-421-3776. Tony's going to keep it simple. Tony, go ahead and squalling.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What's
good
up?
Morning. Brock, I got you 900 OPS on this one.
Okay.
I don't miss Robinson Cano. I love him. He's a consummate pro, but he's going to sit back and look at, hey, look at what these guys are doing without me. And the point you guys made just a minute ago, this is falling on the guy in the dugout. Scott Service is the guy that's going to have to come up with the formula,
mm-hmm.
where to inject Robbie, and how to best utilize this guy's skill set, because he is amazing.
Yep.
Was that a little play on words, to inject Robbie?
Well, yeah, it was, actually.
Did you do it on purpose?
I'm working for the top five. Come on.
Tony, that's a good way to get yourself in there. That's the kind of play on words we're looking for.
That's another's receiving votes. There's no question about it.
I think
it.
That's a really good point. Yeah. This is going to be a really, really hard position for Scott Service to be in. Now, the good news, Tony, I think, is he's handled a lot of tough spots already really well. That doesn't mean he's not dreading it, even while he's also excited about it.
No, and this is leaning on Manny Acta. This is leaning on that entire coaching staff. This is leaning on how is Robbie going to come back into this. I think there's an understanding, or I believe he's going to spend some time in the Dominican and ramp up. He's got his own facility there. He's going to be able to play a lot of ball down there. The Mariners got a great facility down there. So he's going to try to, as best he can, ramp things up and be 100% raring to go. And when he is, will he have, and I believe he will. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like you, I believe a whole lot more in the Robbie Cano I watched the last 3 years than anything I heard in New York. And I believe he's going to come in here and do whatever this team
I do, too. I don't see him being, I'm playing second base or forget.
Because
he's not
going to do that. Because if he doesn't.
Well, he doesn't have a leg to stand on in that regard.
Well,
there's
he's got
no
5 years and 125
million
legs. I know,
there's more to it than that. I don't see him doing that at all. I guess there's just this other part of me that says, okay, yeah, maybe it's a challenge for Scott Service. But you know what else? He's adding a Hall of Fame bat to his lineup.
Yeah.
Like, that's a challenge that a lot of managers would be willing to try to take on in August when they need the help in the dog days of summer. Great phone call. See if we can get back to this here a little bit by the end of the show. 206-421-3776. Going to do some good news, bad news. We got there's cool stuff for good news, bad news, too, right? We've got some awesome sound. And then Jeff Passan's going to join us. Is he on board with where the Mariners
no.
are at yet? They're
actually,
on pace for 103 wins.
Actually, let me answer that.
He's got to be on board.
No.
He's got to be on board for 103 wins, right? Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, Brock abandoned us. He has to go somewhere. He'll be, I don't know. We're going to do the passing interview because, well, we taped it, so you'll get a chance to hear that coming up here in
15
minutes.
Brock will be back at 9.
So you get a little bit more Brock. Your day is not shot, I promise. We'll get a little more Brock, then we'll take some more calls. Right now, what's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Seahawks had free agent guard J.R. Sweezy in Seattle for a visit yesterday.
Yeah, Brock was trying to argue that there might be some bad news here, that maybe it says something negative about DJ Fluker. I don't think so. I think this is all good news. I like it, to be perfectly honest. I think J.R. Sweezy's the type of player they need. He's he's not a perfect guy, and he's flawed as a football player. I'm not saying that he's ideal, but if you get him back on a minimum deal where he is just competing for a guard job, I like that a lot. Plus, he's physical. He's mean-spirited on the field, and the Seahawks need more of that. If the goal here this year is to get back to being who you used to be, to being a run-first, physical, nasty football team, and a lot of that starts with an offensive line that is plugging holes and creating a running game, yeah, J.R. Sweezy seems like the type of person you'd want to bring in to, and I'll use Pete's word, compete.
Good news, bad news.
This is no great.
News.
I get to answer all these by myself.
This is like a dream come true for you.
This
Yours
is awesome.
The only opinion that stands.
My word is, this is the word of God.
Edwin Diaz was named the American League Pitcher of the Month for the second time this season.
Yeah, good news, obviously, that Diaz has been as good as he is. Bad news, as you'll hear in a few minutes from Jeff Passan, his leading the league in appearances is not a good thing. There's no other way to frame that one. Unfortunately, they are using Edwin Diaz a tremendous amount, and he's handled it great so far, but it's July. You need Edwin Diaz to be at his best heading into the very end of this season, into September and especially into October, and they're going to have to find a way to back him off. Now, maybe that means Colomé picks up some save opportunities. Maybe it's Pazos. Maybe it's Nicasio. I don't know. Maybe that guy is out there and they haven't traded for him yet. But I would love to see them find a way to back off Edwin Diaz in the future. I love these little awards along the way. They're nice. And he may be the MVP of this team so far. You've got to find a way to use him less so that he is better down the stretch. I used to use
Good
an
news,
example.
Bad news, no news.
I used to use an example on this, and it's now gotten so old that both of these two players' kids are playing in Major League Baseball.
Whoa.
The example I would always use for this was the 04 Yankees. Who essentially, if you know anything about Joe Torre as a manager, give him like three relievers and that's all he would use ever. I mean, he ruined Scott Proctor's career, threw him like 1,000 times a year. And that year in 2004, it was obviously Rivera in the ninth, and the only two guys he trusted on that team other than Rivera were Tom Gordon and Paul Quantrill. And he blew them out. I mean, by the time they you want to know why the Yankees lose to the Red Sox in the 04 ALCS, a big part of it was that those two guys just weren't as good as they needed to be. And now D. Gordon is playing for the Mariners, and Paul Quantrill's kid is like a huge prospect for the Padres. So
crazy.
Sounds like a really old reference.
That's, yeah, very old now.
Shut up, Howdy.
Mariners' number three prospect, Sam Carlson, had Tommy John surgery. That's their number one pitching prospect.
Yeah, it's awful. And the Mariners don't have a very deep farm system to begin with. I mean, they really have three, maybe four names that are of any, you know, real legitimate national interest in their farm system, and two of them were just drafted within the last couple of weeks. So I will say there's a lot of bad news in here. I wonder what it is. I mean, Danny Holson and Kyle Lewis has had the knee injuries. And now you got this one. I know that can happen with prospects. It's not like it's unique to the Mariners, but that's a lot of top prospects who have flamed out, not because they've been bad, but because they've just gotten hurt. We'll see if Carlson can get it back. But if you've read Jeff Passan's The Arm, I mean, the best indicator of future arm injuries is past arm injuries. And now this guy's had Tommy John before he's even made the majors. Huge bummer.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Jordan Spieth told Aaron Levine that he wants a PGA tournament in the Pacific Northwest.
So you want a U.S. Junior Amateur at Gold Mountain and then to win the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. How much would you love having an annual PGA event in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, I think everybody would love it. I mean, with the golf courses that are up here and then the weather, and not to mention the fact that this town is one of the best sports fan towns in the United States, the city. It's with the Sounders being, you know, the number one showing, you know, the 12th man with the Seahawks. They would love to have it too, and hopefully we can make that work out.
Jordan kind of rocking some new hair, it looked like, in that. Don't you think, Kyle? I mean, credit to Aaron Levine, Q13, for doing the interview. Do you see more hair?
Yeah,
like, it didn't
Jordan's
seem like he was
money.
Fluffing it up.
I mean, what else are you going to spend your money on when you're Jordan Spieth?
You think he's seeing Don's guy?
Oh, Don O'Neill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, if you're tired of looking bald and seeing yourself in the mirror, Jordan Spieth did it.
If you're done winning major championships and immediately having to fluff up your hair, you've got to see my guy. Yeah, I'm psyched about this, and I don't know what it's going to take for someone to get on board with enough pull to bring a tournament here. Remember talking to Bunker about it, and he would just say, look, you got to have a company that specifically wants to sponsor it, B, the right golf course, and I'm not sure that we have that here, and C, an opening. The problem is the PGA Tour, there aren't a lot of real natural weekends where you could move a tournament here to Seattle. I would love to see it happen. I think it would be great for this region. I still think we're a long way off from it actually going down. So for now, no news.
Oh, man, that is frustrating and dishonest.
Thanks, Tom.
Good news, bad news,
hey,
no
speaking
news.
Of dishonest and frustrating, what happened to Brian in Tacoma? Dude, get it together. Ted Danson wasn't in American Flyers. Kevin Costner, yes, but then David Marshall Grant, Radon Chong, who I remember, of course, from Commando, Robert Townsend, John Amos, who's great, Jennifer Grey, a lot of interesting people, but no Ted Danson. Sad.
Four-time NBA All-Star DeMarcus Cousins is going to sign with the Warriors.
I wouldn't know who DeMarcus Cousins was if he walked into this room right now, but I know who he is in terms of his reputation. He's like a really talented big man who gets a ton of technical fouls and is kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
And apparently nobody else wanted him, but he's going to be in the Warriors, so he'll be good.
Well, he had an Achilles injury. He's just had surgery to repair his Achilles.
Howdy, how many teams in the NBA as of today have a chance of winning the championship next year?
Two.
Lakers and Golden State, that's it?
Yeah.
And no one else has a chance?
No.
That's what I thought. Sounds like fun. Sounds great. Yep. Sounds really interesting. Sounds like a fun league. I'm glad it's the new number one. Sounds great. All right, that's good news, bad news, no news. We do that every single day at 8:45 with or without Brock. It's kind of fun without Brock. I got to say, it's almost easier. There's no one to call you on anything. You can just kind of say whatever you want, and you just get to get away with it.
It's like being the Gross.
It is like it used to be the Gross.
Yeah, like you used to be the Gross.
Now he's got like the king of correctness around
now,
him.
Now the Google machine.
But Bob has to like correct everything Gross gets wrong. It's more fun when you think about Gross just in the old days.
Like Brian, just making up movies that people are in.
Yeah, text here about Brian says, so we falsified information and wished injury on Cano. That's a good point. That's poor form, Brian. You got to do better tomorrow. If you want to stay in the top five, stop falsifying information on movies and stop wishing injury on current Mariners. That just doesn't seem right. All right. Coming up next, we will talk to Jeff Passan. Is the blanket wet or not? You'll find out. Just a moment. It's good conversation. It's next. I'm Brock and Salk.